Mics are live.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-19-355. It is 3:19 on Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman, as well as staff and representatives from the company. I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't either.
Commissioner?
No, sir.
Okay, this is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant does go first in this type of proceeding, but before starting, we'll have staff introduce themselves, followed by company representatives. And just to clarify, we don't have anyone on the bridge line today. Is that correct? Okay.
John Shue, advisory staff.
Victor Shook with advocacy staff.
Brian Jones and advocacy staff.
Garrett Singer with MDU.
Tammy Eberly, MDU.
And Travis Jacobson, MDU.
All right. Thank you. You can start. And
all right. Well, good afternoon, commissioners. And we weren't really prepared for an informal hearing. This was scheduled for a work session. Mm-hmm. However, we've been in discussion with Victor since our informal hearing on January 8th. And we have provided some information. We just submitted that actually this morning. So we did provide, based on the January 8th informal, kind of what we had talked about is trying to lay out what would be, we didn't really go into pros and cons, but what would be the parameters that we would all need to understand in order to implement either method. And so that's really kind of what we've attempted to do in the discussion here. And then we also did provide a comparison of the revenue requirements under each of the three methods, the standard, levelizing the PTCs, and then the Victor method. So we provided the comparison of revenue requirements. In this particular paper, we did not provide bill impacts. We did, in our original application, we did submit some information. However, we just looked and we only included the two. We included the Victor method and standard as a bill impact. However,
I've done some calculations and I have.
Okay.
When you're done, I can kind of cover
okay.
that a little
great.
Bit.
Great. So basically, I mean, we're really not in any different place than we were on January 8th. It's kind of what is your objective, and if it is to move those PTCs across the life of the asset, we really think levelizing the PTCs then, that methodology would meet that objective. We don't have any major...
Which objective? I'm sorry, I was trying to read by you.
The objective of moving those PTCs across the life of the asset, you know, so that, and I'm going to, because I was here, but looking at the graph that Excel presented and is presented as well on our page, two of our comments, you can see that, you know, it's, it makes it look, the wind assets look more like our other generation assets. They're going to, you know, you're going to have the depreciation dropping off, and it does make that a better look. It takes really, and takes those PTCs simply out over the life of the assets. Levelizing the revenue requirement itself, trying to match that PTC with the earnings, is our biggest concern is we're not sure we're the best forecasters out for 20 years. For that length of time, and while it'll be trued up, it is complicated in saying you're levelizing a revenue requirement. Now we're coming in and we're going to true up. So are we going to recalculate a levelized trued up revenue requirement? And knowing we have a third line, which is reality, which we'll be booking those on a accounting basis, those PTCs are taken in the year that we receive them. They're on the tax return that year. So that's the third line that is reality and that we would be deferring against. So after hearing the discussion earlier this afternoon, our discussion, I mean, I think the levelizing the PTCs really is preferable in making the wind assets look closer to any other generator. on our system.
Okay. You had mentioned something earlier, and I can appreciate this was a really short turnaround and going from work session on our end to an informal. I just found out that it had been switched, frankly, after our commission meeting today. I was out of town yesterday at a funeral, and so our communication wasn't as good as it should have been internally. And frankly, so do you feel adequately, reasonably ready to go through what we're doing right now currently?
Oh, yes. And, you know, I don't think that we really have any new information than what we provided January 8th. And I think this works well. We can all, you know, if you have additional questions, we can address them in this informal. So the information we provided is there's really nothing new there than what we discussed on January 8th. And unfortunately, you know, but what we can turn around, or if Victor has it, is more of the bill impacts for other classes, you know, or and what that looks like. We do not have that with us here today, but can certainly provide that in short order.
Okay.
So just to clarify, this was changed from work session to an informal, just to kind of facilitate a better discussion where we can kind of flesh through any questions and ideas or whatever. Bill impacts. So the blue line.
I just want to make sure I'm looking at what you're looking at.
Yep. So I'm looking at page two of the filing from this morning. The blue line, 2020, that $15 million represents approximately $7.70 a month. The $7.70 a month is probably including that true up, so it might start a little bit higher than that. But that one's not necessarily important where that's starting, but so around $7 to $7.70 is where the blue dot is on 2020. The change, so when you look at that revenue requirement number changing by millions, $2 million roughly change in the revenue requirement translates into $1 per month for a residential customer, approximately. Exact number is $1.948 million to $1, but I think we can let her slide.
$2 million equals about a dollar?
Yes.
For average residential?
For residential.
So the blue to the orange on 2020.
Blue to the orange is, you know, that's $10
million. $5 million.
$5.
$5 per customer.
Right.
And that's a month, Victor, right?
Per month.
Per month, yeah.
Which kind of, you know.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It absolutely is. And I think it, I forget if I had said this during Excel's hearing or not, but each of the companies is in a different position with their wind farms and their rider. MDU has three very old wind farms whose PTCs are done this year. They have a kind of a mid-grade PT or a wind farm that only has about 6 years of PTC left, and then they have one more that has 9 years PTC left. And that one's relatively small compared to the one that expires in 6 years. So we're really not seeing the full impact of any method with MDU's portfolio. Excel's was slightly better since the majority of their wind farms are newer. They're not all brand new, but they're newer. Where Otter Tail has the purest look at the different methods, where they have one wind farm from the first year they're getting recovery to the last year of recovery. So you really get the ideal picture of what the methods can do.
Does it make sense to only consider it if there's a certain number of years of the PTC left?
Yes, and that is one thing. So the discussion I had with MDU for theirs, the wind farms that only had, like, this is their last year of PTCs, their small wind farms, those are just being taken in this year, and we're not spreading them out over any additional period.
That's already calculated in here.
Yes.
Right. Each asset was calculated separately.
Yep.
And that's kind of one thing I think is important on either the Victor method or the levelizing method. It's important to calculate the revenue requirement of each wind farm on a separate basis and then roll them together for the actual total revenue requirement for the rider.
So would it make sense to have a cutoff of, like, at least half or more of the PTCs left? We wouldn't considered.
Yeah, you know.
But unless you had something.
Yeah, I mean, it would, and really, I think MDU is the only one that's in this boat. Mm. So we can simply say the three older wind farms that they have, we're not going to do any levelizing with them. They will be have the standard revenue requirement for them. Everybody else will do whatever the time period is left, and I think it's we don't have to do anything else special with, you know, tariff language or anything else like that. We can just agree that this is how these would be treated, and then everything else going forward would be treated the same.
So remind me again the years remaining on MDUs.
So you can kind of see even by the dots. So the blue dots, there is a dot for every year. You can see it kind of has a downward trend for six dots. And then we spike up. That is the end of the PTCs for Thunder Spirit 1. Then there's three more dots, the downward trend, before another smaller spike up. That is the end of PTCs for Thunder Spirit expansion. I don't think it's called 2. It's just the expansion, right?
Called 2.
Is it called 2? Okay. Well, I mean, 2 would make sense, but I thought somewhere I saw it just referred to as expansion.
Okay.
So Thunder Spirit 1 has 6 years. Thunder Spirit 2 has 9 years of PTC. So Thunder Spirit 2 has the majority of its time remaining on PTCs.
I don't find this very important, but curious. What happens out there in like 35 and 36? What causes it to bump up?
So I'm hoping Travis can speak to that. I didn't. You know, we didn't spend a great deal of time on this before it was filed. You know, I did review all of this before the company filed it, but can you speak to that, Travis, why the gray line kind of, or, sorry, were you talking about the blue line, Commissioner, or the gray line?
The blue and the orange.
The little spike up from 35 to 36.
I think what's happening is our revenue requirement is going down, but our O&M is going up. So they kind of cross at that point where your O&M starts to be a bigger component of the total. Okay. So it brings it back up just a little bit. And as Victor had mentioned, the Diamond Willow, Cedar Hills are going to reach their full maturity at that time and be fully depreciated. So, you know, you don't have anywhere. You can't get less depreciation on them.
Is this the biggest rate shock, if you will, of any of the companies?
Let me look at Otter Tales again real quick. I would say so. In Otter Tales, I don't know if anyone has that filing in front of them.
I don't want to get too much into it either, sure, since they're not here. But.
So Otter Tail.
Nothing dramatically bigger than this. You're aware.
Otter Tails from the blue line to the orange line difference would be about $3 to $3.50 a month.
And this is about 5, as I understood you.
Correct.
What if you took out Thunder Spirit 1 and only did this for Thunder Spirit 2? Would you reduce the rate shock then? And you did Thunder Spirit 1 the traditional way, along with the other one that you're finishing out.
I'm trying to think about that.
Because how long did it... 15 years, the PTCs?
10.
Oh, 10.
I don't think you'd get a whole lot of mileage out of that. I mean, Thunder Spirit 1 is a little over 100 megawatts. Thunder Spirit 2 is 48.
Sure.
So its value is...
of credits generated is a lot for Thunder Spirit.
Yes.
Okay. All right, another option. What if you did the shook look on this one on MDUs because of the way these fall and didn't, you know, chose the other methodology for the other companies? Is there a problem with that?
I mean, it's, you could functionally do that. I don't know if there's any kind of legal concerns with having two different methods between two different companies or three different companies.
Maybe administratively, but I don't see a legal issue with that.
So it's not like we can't calculate it or, you know,
right.
It would cause us any procedural problems.
I mean, the goal still is to get the best match of spreading out the benefits of the PTC to the largest, you know, number of customers over time.
Yep.
But also not creating a huge amount of rate shock, which, I mean, $5 a month on residential bills, which is going to be exacerbated for the commercial folks. That's a lot. I can't imagine going along with really with that on this, on these.
Would it help to submit a calculation showing just Sun Square 2, you know, knowing that it's half, less than half the value of Thunder Spirit 1?
I'm not really a fan of that.
Okay.
Just doing Thunder Spirit 2.
Direction. I think we pick one of these methodologies and leave them in there is my desire.
How do you feel about doing a different one for MDU than the others?
I don't find it completely unacceptable, but I kind of feel like we should remain consistent in doing the same.
Well, my thought would be, you know, we pick, like, if we're leaning towards the levelized being the preferred method, that we kind of establish that as this is where we see ourselves going in the future, and this is like an interim step for this one since we're kind of down the road on some of their projects. And
except for what about when they add another one? You know, if our conclusion is that the completely levelized version is the right way to do it for the company that has a brand new wind farm now that's just going in this year, but the shook look is the right way to do it for MDU because of the situation of being in the middle with their largest facility, then what about when MDU adds another new facility? And which way do we go from there?
Well, that's easy. They just can't until this is done.
20 years, nothing else.
But I'm sure the PTCs will still be available.
So if I may kind of interject in that a little bit, so since we've been saying this whole time, I think with all the companies would agree, we're calculating wind farm by wind farm revenue requirement. So what we could say, we're already going to have two methods for MDU if we go to some version of levelize, because we're saying Cedar Hills and Diamond Willow, they're old, they're already on the blue path. They're staying on the blue path until they're done. And I think you could specify, you know, we want to do the orange line for Thunder Spirit 2, and we want to do the gray line for Thunder Spirit 1. Adds a level of complexity. You don't like that? I don't like it, but it's not the ideal setup. I agree.
Because knowing the future, there most likely will be repowerings as well as could be solar that has certain credits, right, that you may want to do the same type of.
So.
Absolutely add a level of complexity.
What?
It adds a level of complexity to do different methods.
Well.
And I think these very concerns, you know, that you've now kind of explored some different options and stuff, was, I think, exactly what Victor worked on with his program to alleviate
some of the adverse impacts that make it problematic to just do normal rate making.
Well, and quite honestly, it's how fair is it for us to be so concerned about the immediate rate shock when we were going along with significant rate shock for future customers down the road in the previous method. And we weren't expressing all kinds of concerns about that. Funny how when you're 10 years away, you're not so worried about those things.
Yeah, thanks a lot, you two.
You're going to be here in 10 years?
Well, the company is here, and I think the point of having the informal was, you could have just presented this, and which you did. You submitted it; it was docketed. But they're here, so we have the opportunity to ask questions of them. So,
and the company is amenable to help, whatever decision is made, and whatever we think and you think the best process is.
But do you have a preference for one or the other?
I mean, certainly in terms of, as Tammy specified, comparing it to other assets in rate base, the levelizing just the PTCs would follow then that rate making concept.
Sure.
Of the other generation assets.
I guess I apologize too that this was turned into an informal on you. That was partially my doing, but I want to make sure that we were aware that this was a record proceeding as well. Forward.
And I'm going to say, when I don't remember who brought it to my attention this morning, whether it would be okay to do an informal. I'm kind of glad we did, because otherwise we'd be sitting here having this discussion in a work session, and you three would be in the room anyway, and we'd always be wondering, like, boy, are they just wishing they could jump up and correct something that we're incorrect about, at least now. There was that opportunity, so I think it worked out pretty well. I frankly, if we wanted to reschedule this afternoon or tomorrow around our other meetings, a work session where we could discuss all three together and just discuss renewable energy riders and try and work out among the three of us a conclusion on these. I think we kind of have the information we need now, and I would be find that to be acceptable unless one of you two feels the need to acquire more information.
No, I don't think there's any question that we need to. Our next step as a commission is to move into a work session where we can actually talk about the three different companies without having just one as spectators, frankly, which is would morph into a work session if we continued on here, which you'd probably be present anyway, but at the same time, not everyone's at the table at the same time either. So
it seems like
I
hear
some more information I'd like, but
okay. Yeah.
And I'd like the same calculation that NSP is providing on the rate impacts to the different customer classes. And, I mean, with that, then I would feel comfortable pulling the trigger on a method. And
we do have that on Otter Tail, correct?
By the different customer classes, we do not.
We do not.
I can reach out to them. I'm sure they wouldn't have a problem with providing that.
Right.
And their documents.
Do that as well.
We can do that quickly. Mm-hmm. We can submit that very quickly. Have the information.
Okay.
Didn't include it here.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality, and I agree, we want to make a decision and finalize something sooner versus later, but this has persisted for the past decade, so we're at where we're at.
Yeah.
All right. Julie, Randy, do you have any other questions?
I do not.
Specific to MDU, staff?
I don't have anything else. I think if you haven't already, kind of look through the points that are in MDU's presentation to kind of list some things to think about, some concerns that, and I've kind of signed on to these items as well, saying generally we should probably do these things if we do one of the levelized methods. It's not set in stone. If we can tweak on some of these things, but I think generally these these are a good idea. So just something to think about before you go to your work session. Or your work session.
I thought that was a nice, helpful list. I appreciate the company putting that thought into it.
All right. With that, that's after we adjourn the informal, we can jump right into scheduling. Okay. Nothing else to add? Then the, I mean, did we have multiple handouts?
That handout is already in the file.
Okay, so nothing in addition to the file documents already?
No, just the verbal discussion.
The audio recording is being entered as a part of the record at this point?
Right.
Okay. All right, then the audio recording of the proceeding is now considered evidence. Is there any objection? Are there any objections to this evidence becoming a part of the record?
No objection from staff.
Then this is now a part of the official record, the audio, upon which a decision will be made. Seeing no other matters for the commission regarding this matter, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.